Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, we're talking to David Hammer now, our friend, WWL-TV investigative reporter, about a story that just broke, that was just posted to... Well, David Hammer, you tell us about the story. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Tommy. Thanks for having me. This story, I think people are going to see that the topic is the Road Home program from Hurricane Katrina. 16 years ago, it was established, and they're going to have this collective groan. Are we still talking about this? And the problem is that, yes, we are still talking about this. There are 3,500 homeowners in South Louisiana who are being sued by the state for failing to use the Road Home money the way that they're required to. This was the money that the federal government sent down to Louisiana after Hurricane Katrina to help rebuild after Katrina and Rita. And it just, the story is something I've been covering now for 16 years, and it's frustrating to have seen that this was developing this way, where there were going to be large groups of people who were going to be negatively affected, even though the program gave out billions of dollars and helped over 100,000 people rebuild their homes. Sometimes it's not just giving out money. The issue that we found in this investigation, and this is an investigation that I did with Rich Webster from the TimesPicayuneNOLA.com, and also ProPublica, which is a national investigative newsroom. And we really delve deep into these lawsuits that the state has brought against 3,500 homeowners and discovered that these are not people who made off with the money. The big fear was that you're going to have a lot of people getting the money, leaving, not rebuilding their houses. These are, by and large, people who rebuilt their homes, followed the rules, but got caught in really difficult financial situations, especially involving the home elevation money. If you remember, the federal government and the state government wanted people to build back better and stronger and higher and safer from future storms, and they gave $30,000 to elevate people's homes, in addition to compensation for their losses from the storm. And it was not nearly enough. It was only a third of the amount needed, basically, to elevate the average house. And so people were really caught in a catch-22 financially. And now this is the result all these years later, thousands of people being sued by the state for money they just don't have.
Wait, let me go back a second. So they were given $30,000 to elevate the home, and that was not enough to elevate the house?
Right. The cost of elevation, and the state knew this because the state had documents that laid out the estimated costs for elevation at the time and found that the average, you know, 1,500 square foot house or that roundabout that was slab on grade would cost approximately $100,000 to elevate 2 to 3 feet and get it above the base flood elevation for, you know, safety from future storms.
For a 1,500 square foot house back in 2005, that had to be close to the cost of the house, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you remember, Tommy, how there were actually, you know, hundreds of fly-by-night contractors that kind of descended on the area. It was actually even some of the commercials from the established elevation companies were, you know, pointing this out, that there were all these companies that couldn't be trusted, that were fly-by-night and coming in and taking people's money. Because when they finally got money out the door in 2010, 2011, it became just such a boon for these companies that people just started sprouting up with these companies to elevate houses, because it was so much money going into that process. But the people who were trying to rebuild and had to rebuild before that program got going in the 2006, 2007, 2008 timeframe, the money that was given for that was just not enough. And that's the vast majority of these folks, over 3,000, who are caught in this difficult situation now, where they rebuilt their homes, they reoccupied their homes as was the plan for the program, but they never were able to elevate.
Because they didn't have enough money. So what did they do with the $30,000 that they were given to elevate the home with?
Well, they put it into the repairs of their house. And, you know, by the time the state said, well, if you, and the state recognized this, the state said in 2013, if you put the money into repairing your house, that's fine, but you need to show us receipts. Well, 2013 was 8 years after Katrina. And, you know, 7 years after most of them got their grant money. So by then, a lot of them did not have those receipts anymore. There was no requirement to keep those receipts when they first got the grant, because the grant was just, here's your money and here's covenants that say that you'll sign that say, yes, I will rebuild and I will reoccupy the house in 3 years. And so then when they came back on the back end and said, okay, now if you put the money into fixing your house, that's fine, but you need to show us receipts. Well, none of those folks, or very few of those folks, had those receipts to prove it.
So at the point that homeowners realized that $30,000 was a third of what they needed to elevate their home, did anybody contact the Road Home and tell them this?
Absolutely. It was all over the Road Home program. There were people filing appeals. There were people trying to go through a process. And what we actually found from these lawsuits, there's documents and testimony that a lot of these folks were told by the Road Home representatives that it was okay, don't worry about it, take the money and you can use it on repairs. In fact, some people actually elected not to elevate, not to take the additional $30,000 to elevate, and were told, don't worry about it, take it, it'll help you with your repairs, use it anyway. That's according to testimony and court documents in several cases. So these folks now are being sued by the state of Louisiana. And the state says, we don't want to be doing this. We don't want to be suing our own people, especially people that we know are not, have not run off with the money. They did what they were supposed to do in terms of repairing their house and getting back into it, which was the overall point of the program. We don't want to have to be suing them to take back money that they don't have. But HUD tells us we have to return the money that was considered an overpayment, because they granted the money from federal taxpayers to help finance these elevation projects, and these folks were the ones who did not actually do the elevation work.
I'm not asking you to speculate here, because I know that's not what you do, but I'm just trying to understand. When I drive around in neighborhoods and I see houses that are 1,200, 1,500 square feet, and I see that they're elevated, can I infer from that that it costs $100,000 for that home to be elevated?
That was the price that was being paid and being quoted by these elevation companies when those projects really got going. You may recall that there was a program called the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program.
Right.
That was an additional $100,000 that the federal government paid to folks to do these elevation projects. That didn't come into effect and start paying out in earnest until 2011. So that was actually designed to help the very same people who got the $30,000 from the Road Home, and it wasn't enough. That additional $100,000 was specifically for those Road Home grant recipients to get additional money to be able to afford the elevation. But there was only enough money in that program to help about a third of the people who got the Road Home elevation grants. So that left out two-thirds of them. That left out about 20,000 folks who had to figure out how to make it work with just 30,000.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back. We're talking to David Hammer, WWL-TV investigative reporter, about a story that was just posted. It's 18 pages long. I haven't gotten through all of it. I am scanning it. And we're talking to him about it, about the Road Home program. And this goes back to Katrina. They got $30,000. They were told they could use grant money to rebuild the house, but they signed a paper, as I understand it, and David can comment on this when we come back, saying they had to use that money to elevate the home. And now they're being sued because the home hasn't been elevated and they don't have the money because they put it into the house, which has not been elevated. I think that's where we are. We'll find out when we come back. 920, Tommy Tucker back in a flash on WWL. 925, 926, call it Thursday morning, May 12th. We're talking to David Hammer, investigative reporter from WWL-TV, about a story that was just posted to ProPublica. And I imagine, David, you're going to have this on the news this evening.
Yeah, you were talking about summarizing it, and I think that the easiest way to do that will be to watch tonight at 10 when we have my TV story where we really break it down and summarize it. But, yeah, go to ProPublica, go to WWLTV.com right now, and you can read in depth about this issue, which, you know, is something that's been building for the last 16 years since this Road Home program to help people recover from Hurricane Katrina was first introduced.
Somebody texted in and said, oh, please, I've been having rental property for 15 years. I still have my receipts from when I got them. I kept them for tax purposes. If I would be getting money from the government, for sure, I would keep my receipts. But I don't know if that's the case. If you got a grant and you got a check, would you really be prone to keep all of the receipts? And is that even a question here? Because they were told that the money could be used for things other than elevation, but what they signed was different?
Yeah, it is a question, because what they signed an agreement when they received the grant saying that they would elevate within 3 years. So that's the agreement that the state says that they breached that contract when they failed to elevate within 3 years. You know, the person who made that comment about keeping receipts is certainly correct for some people. And there were some people who did keep their receipts all the way back, you know, 15, 16 years later. But the problem is that, you know, people who, you know, you're not even supposed to have to keep your tax records for more than 5 years. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of people who went through a lot of hardship who didn't keep their receipts, and you can certainly blame them for that. But that is being required in these court cases, because it's the only way to prove that you didn't breach your contract, that you had some kind of that you qualify for dispensation, essentially, to not have to elevate.
So if they use the money and didn't elevate, even though they signed the agreement saying that that's what the money would be used for, are they still in default? If I'm not phrasing that too clumsily, even because yeah, I'm wondering where would the receipts even factor into this if it doesn't matter? If, well, okay, that's fine. You used it for this, but you signed it saying you were going to use it to elevate and you didn't elevate.
Well, because the onus is on the homeowner when they're sued for breach of contract to establish that they had some kind of legitimate use for the money. And they didn't come up with the idea officially that the legitimate use for the money was using the money on repairs instead of elevation until years after those folks signed those agreements. So I think the overall lesson here is that these government grant programs, especially disaster recovery programs, it's not just about getting the money out the door. That was the big thing that, if you think back to 2006, everybody was yelling at Governor Blanco, you got to get these grants into people's hands. Yep. You got to get the money out the door. But when they did that, and then they were still changing the rules as they went to try to address problems as they popped up, they were, you know, someone described it as building a ship while it was already underway. And what you end up with is confusion and problems down the line. And, you know, this we're talking about thousands of homeowners who did essentially what they were supposed to do. There was confusion about this one aspect, and now they face financial ruin for it.
And if I remember correctly, there was also this was also plotted against the timeline of getting people back and getting the city back. So time was of the essence in getting this money back and getting the homes rehabilitated, was it not?
Right. Keep in mind that the state of Louisiana, we think about, you know, the way that we respond to disasters now, and we see the delay in getting money to folks from Hurricane Laura in 2020. It was a similar long delay after Katrina because it was such a huge disaster that broke the mold. There was a lot of difficulty in getting funding, and the state of Louisiana didn't get enough to put that road home program together. There were big fights about how much Louisiana should get versus how much Mississippi should get in 2006. And it wasn't until the end of 2007 that that program, the road home program, was fully funded to be able to pay all 130,000 applicants that qualified for the money. So, and then, like I said before, there were programs that had to come in years and years later to try to supplement because it was discovered that it wasn't enough. So the just getting the money out the door is always what the government officials hold up as, look at the success of this program and how we, you know, got all this money out the door. But there's the fine print and there's the, you know, details that the devil is in the details for, you know, thousands of people, particularly poor homeowners who were caught in a difficult situation.
Somebody texted in apparently with a working knowledge of this. Ask David Hammer about HUD news release, HUD number 15-113A, which I am looking at, which is dated August 24th of 2015. Says HUD provides clarity for Louisiana's Road Home Elevation Incentive Program. Does your story go into this, David?
Yes, it mentions that news release.
So what this news release said, as I'm reading it, if I understand it, because again, I'm doing a lot of this on the fly as I'm talking to you, is that if they could prove this, this is where the receipts factor in, if the homeowner could prove to HUD that they used the money and put it into their home and didn't elevate, then they wouldn't have to repay it?
That's right. That's right. Okay. And that is precisely the issue here because the state made it very clear in that news release and in letters that were sent to tens of thousands of these road home recipients that they were willing to work with them to allow them to use the money for the repairs as opposed to just the elevation. And, you know, that signals that that was okay, but for the people who didn't have the receipts and couldn't prove it,
yeah,
they are now caught in this situation.
Because now that was released on August 24th of 2015, which was just about 10 years after the storm happened. I'm guessing 9 years after the money started to flow. And as you brought up, you're required to keep your federal tax returns, although I got them for probably 20 years, and I'm going to have a shredding weekend one of these days.
Right.
For what, 7 years, David? What is it? Or six?
I thought it was five, but that's a good
It may be.
What is actually required is,
right.
I thought it was five, but yeah.
Of course, with tax returns, you may want to shred that. That might might be a little bit different than this.
But here, okay. Let me just say, the state of Louisiana did try all these different, you know, solutions to try to avoid suing these folks. And one of them included even saying we would go out and do a field inspection to say, yes, you did this with the money, and we can eyeball it and see that you actually did the repairs and kind of count up the costs and say, yeah, okay, well, that squares with what you're saying. But that program only lasted for 2 years, from 2016 to 2018. And there are a lot of folks who say, well, you know, I didn't get a chance to take advantage of that.
Do pictures factor into this at all, if they have any kind of photographic evidence of before and after?
That's what some people are trying to present as they defend themselves against these lawsuits. And it's just that's not sufficient for proving it. And, you know, the field inspections were supposed to try to take care of that, having somebody from the road home or from the state go out and look at it live in person. But that a lot of people either didn't know about that program, didn't avail themselves of the program, and then they get sued in 20, 2020, and they say, well, we want a field inspection, and those aren't available anymore.
Mm. Anybody in the legislature looking at this, David, as far as you know? And is this, are the suits coming to the attorney general? Where is all this coming from?
Well, the suits are coming from the state of Louisiana. They actually have paid millions of dollars to a private law firm to pursue these cases. And they have gotten $40 million in judgments so far. About $12 million of the money has been recovered so far. But to your question, it would take actually a federal action to reverse this, because HUD would have to essentially say, that's okay, you don't need to repay that money. We consider it, you know, we consider it a proper use of the money now. And that would have to be wiped away by the White House. That would have to be wiped away by HUD. And there are efforts underway to try to get that done right now, negotiations between the state of Louisiana and the federal government to try to change that. And things like that have happened before through the course of, you know, changing tax rules, changing. There was a program called the Hazard Mitigation Elevation Program, where the rule was that you couldn't get the money if you had already started elevating by the time they got the program going. I did a story in the Times-Picayune at the time showing how that was going to hurt a lot of people, and they actually changed that rule at the White House level in 2007. So that's the type of thing that they're trying for in this case, to try to get this essentially forgiven or wiped away by the federal government.
Are people at risk of losing their homes over this?
Well, the home seizures are not necessarily a part of this by the state. The state's not going to come in and take your home, but liens on the property and issues that could lead to foreclosure are possible impacts. And some people are actually filing for bankruptcy, personal bankruptcy, to try to protect their home and their investment. So, yes, this is absolutely affecting people's ability to own their home and pass their home along to their children in the future and things like that.
And if somebody passes away, then you're talking about opening succession on an estate, which is going to be affected as well, I guess, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, a lot of these folks that are affected are elderly. And we talked to a number of homeowners in reporting this story who really fear that. You know, they are living on a fixed income that is barely more than what the repayment, you know, $500 a month repayment to pay back a $30,000 debt that they just can't afford. And the alternative would be a lien on their property that would prevent them from passing that property along to their children.
What time tonight, David?
10 o'clock tonight on Channel 4. And you can see the story now, written story now, on WWLTV.com.
This is the kind of thing where I think we're lucky to have people like you, that you have a store of knowledge that somebody coming from the outside would not have, because you've been covering this for so long. And I would just say to people that are texting and saying the law is the law, you got to follow the rules, I think you got to go back and look at it through the prism of where we were in 2006. Would you agree, David?
I absolutely agree. I mean, if this was about people who were not following the law and just absconding with the money, that would be a totally different story. This was a program that was totally in flux. I covered it from the beginning, and it was constant changes that in the end hurt a lot of people.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your work and your time this morning, and we'll watch tonight at 10 o'clock. David
Thanks,
Hammer,
Hammer.
You bet. WWLTV investigative reporter.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.